Haramai, good morning. This is Judith Leigh welcoming you to Manx Radio and to the podcast of this week's edition of At Your Service. Manx Radio. And on this Mothering Sunday, I wish a happy and blessed day to all mothers and the many special people who are like a mother to other people. Mothering in a slightly different context is at the heart of our programme today, as my special guests are different in many ways, but both of them share a lifelong commitment to a powerful organisation that's rooted in the Anglican Church, but whose 4.5 million members reach out around the world to support family life in all its forms, helping it to thrive when difficulties come along. They are Reverend Jeanette Hamer and Mrs. May Corlett, and we'll meet them both in just a few minutes. Ruth Rice will be back with another suggestion for making the most of Lent, these weeks of preparation leading to the great celebration of Easter. There's notice board news, as usual, and music too, chosen for us by Reverend Jeanette Hamer. She tells me that this is special to her and to her family. To God be the glory. The choice of my first guest today, the Reverend Jeanette Hamer. Jeanette's an Anglican priest with responsibility for the church in Kirkmichael and all that that entails. Yet, in spite of an already full workload, she's agreed to become, for the next 3 years, the diocesan president of the Mothers' Union, the leader of this active charity with branches all around the island. She has a group of trustees to work with her and dedicated branch leaders who, with their members, reach out to serve the local community. But hers is a big job, and I wondered what attracted Jeanette to take it on.
Mothers Union has always been very dear to me. We moved here in 2002. And my mother-in-law, who lived over here, Emily Hamer, she was an ardent Mothers Union follower and a member. And so I knew a little bit about it. But when I had to give up my teaching job because of illness, one of the first places I could walk to when I began to improve was to the Mothers Union meeting. And this goes back to the early 2000s. I could walk to Mothers Union. I was made welcome. I could sit. I could chat. It was a lovely community feel. And then I could walk home again afterwards. And that's when I first began to become, for myself, interested in Mothers Union. It is a local group of local, mostly women, although men are very welcome if anyone wants to join us. It is a group that unite together to support other family life in their local community. And yes, we are global as well, but it starts at the root, supporting those families in need around about where those people are. And that still is the feel now at the centre. It is family life. A family made up of whatever. There's no kind of judgmental feel there at all. You are welcome to come, welcome to get involved. And that it's that supportive feel that reaches out. And how much more now at the moment, post-COVID, is that kind of community support needed?
These must have been, as for everybody else, difficult years for Mothers Union, because all the things that are the essence, meetings, being together, were all things that were so disrupted over the last 2 years.
Yes, there's a lot of rebuilding. As you say, locally, the meetings couldn't take place. Some things were happening over Zoom, but not everybody was on Zoom. And it was just the phone calls, the chatting, the actually how are yous, and the support for shopping and things like that. All those things that are involved in being part of a community. But as we're coming out of that, it is reconnecting with people, seeing how we can help. And centrally, from Mothers Union point of view, it's something we've got to look at. How can we rebuild our communities here on the island, in the UK and further afield?
Is this something that the leadership are looking at particularly deeply now?
Yeah, at the moment there's a kind of theme called Transformation Now. And as we're starting back and we're all starting to meet again, we've got to look at how we've done things in the past, celebrate what we've done, how we've got to think what worked, can it work in the new circumstances? But also, how can we transform into something that serves the needs of our society today? We are already involved in prison work here where a creche is being run, but there's lots of other things that we can look at to see how we can help support families that have found it hard through COVID, are still finding it hard. What can we do to help? We began with a council meeting that we had last month to actually look at how we communicate. How do we actually say who we are? How do we get the news out that we are there to help? Who do we tell? Rather than be inward looking, we were trying now to be really outward looking. It's what we've been doing in the past, but COVID, I think, has made us all very insular, and we need to be more outgoing in various ways. What has worked in the past? How can we build on that? How can we reunite, if you like? The union means uniting women together to work together. And how can we use the skills we've got to reach out on the island, in the UK and further afield, to help women and children and families, whole families, men as well? How can we actually reach out to help those that are in particular need?
And of course, whilst we're looking at how Mothers Union might reshape locally, globally, I mean, one of the things that Mothers Union has been massively committed to is education and very important literacy programs and education to lift people out of their circumstances, because educating somebody is empowering them.
Over the years, we have been involved in literacy projects. We've been involved in projects against violence to women, against, you know, abuse with children. Anything that is strengthening a family life there, is strengthening the way that women are looked at in the world, and empowering them to have jobs, empowering them to allow them to have a say, to earn money, to help support their families. Anything like that is a project that the Mothers Union has been involved with.
And I think if we're looking at the power of the Mothers' Union almost, we would do well to remember that not that many years ago, the UK government took their Mothers' Union chief executive to help them over the Bye Bye Childhood campaign that focused on a kind of exploitation of children, of childhood, wasn't it?
It was, often used kind of in advertising and things like that, the way they were almost sexualizing children, making them older than they were, trying to sell them products and things that really were taking away their childhood. And I think Mothers Union were working very much to bring childhood back and to allow children to be children, had to allow them to have those experiences and learn as they play. And I think that was a very important project that they were involved with.
Even more important now, because we're hearing about children, young people who are suffering mental health issues. But it's the pressures that's on young people now. And to keep them free and away from pressure has got to be something that we all care about, doesn't it?
Yes, it has. I think that the mental health issue, especially at the moment, and there are many good organisations around that help, and anything that we can do to support family life, to bring back the kind of security of a child existence really would help. And Mothers Union is all for that, working within families. We have a particular fund, for instance, which would help families have an away day, time out to be able to strengthen some of those bonds they've got within the family, or even to give a mum a bit of a break just for a day out to be able to actually refocus for a little while. You know, there are funds available where Mothers Union can help support that.
People might be listening to this and saying, yeah, Mothers Union, well, they have groups around the island. Well, I don't really have time to attend regular meetings, but that's not the only option available. If you like what the Mothers Union aspires to and believe that it really makes a difference, you can be a part of the diocese, can't you? And that doesn't commit you to attending meetings, and yet you can be part of what the Mothers Union is all about.
Yes, there's diocesan members, as you rightly say, and they are people that cannot be involved in groups. They could be wanting to still support but don't feel that they can be part of a group, so maybe out working. I mean, they can support the Mothers Union by knowing what's going on, or supporting Mothers Union, communicating about it, being involved in some of the projects. And that's an important way that a lot of people can continue to be part of what is a very good organisation.
I have heard it said, I think it was by the Archbishop of Canterbury. He said the Mothers Union is one of the best kept secrets in the Anglican Church. It's got about 4.5 million members worldwide. So it's obviously going places, isn't it? And you're going to take it places here on the island, aren't you, Jeanette?
Yes, I hope we do. I think it's an exciting time. It is a time of rebuilding, and we can be part of that, to draw together our groups. And yes, a lot of us are of the older kind, but there's a lot we can still be doing in supporting the work, both locally and further afield. Let's start looking at how we communicate what the Mothers Union does. Let's tell people how good some of the projects are. There's an awful lot that we can do, even from sitting in a circle in our church halls. And we don't need to be churchgoers, just to be part of a community of women and men that working together for the good of their community. And for those of us that feel that we can't get out so much more, we are actually a power tool of the Anglican Church, because one of the things that we do have is a wave of prayer, and you don't have to be out at a meeting for that. You can all join together and pray for all those Mothers Union groups right across the world and the projects they're involved in. A prayer for every day in the wave of prayer, and for all the branches right across the world.
Reverend Jeanette Hamer, thank you very much indeed for talking to us. It seems particularly appropriate that on this Mothering Sunday, we should be talking about an organisation that supports family life in all its forms. And so, from the brand new diocesan president of Mothers Union on the island, Reverend Jeanette Hamer, to someone who describes herself as quite a newcomer to Mothers Union, having, in her own words, only been a member of the Maroun branch for some 20-odd years. In just a few weeks' time, Mrs. May Corlett will celebrate her 100th birthday, and this seemed to me to be a good moment to invite May to reflect on the very thing that Mothers Union seeks to support, family life, and the challenges that come with a changing world. May isn't Manx-born, so first I asked her where she'd grown up.
In a little village in Lancashire, between St. Helens and Warrington, and sort of heading towards Cheshire. Met a Manxman in England. Of course, that was at wartime. Husband was in the Air Force, and when he was demobbed, I got married. We got married when I was 20, and we came over here to live then. Husband had been in the fire service in the Air Force, and he was fortunate enough to get a similar sort of job at the airport.
Was it a big wrench for you coming over here? Were you a bit nervous about it? How did you feel about leaving Lancashire behind?
It was all very strange to me, and I'd never been away from home before. It took quite a little while to sort of settle down, but we did, and eventually we had our family, and they kept us very busy. Yes. Over a period of years, yeah. The children were born sort of really well spaced out. We had three girls and two boys. I'm not saying that it was easy bringing up five children in those days, but we didn't expect a lot. Three of them have sort of flown the nest and are overseas. Kathy, daughter, lives here. She's recently moved to Peel. My youngest son, David, he lives in Sulby. The eldest son is in Canada. Eldest daughter is in Mexico City. And the middle daughter is in Arizona. But I've had some wonderful holidays with them overseas. You do the best you can for your children anyway. And give them the lead that, you know, the world isn't too bad a place, and get on and do something. They've all done well for themselves and done a lot for other people, you know, while they were doing whatever. But they're a wonderful family, and they've been very wonderful to me. Well, husband gave a tremendous amount of his time to the Royal British Legion in Castletown. Long years, because if the need is there, you try and rectify things. I didn't realise that there was so much poverty on the island in seeing the food banks. But then again, I go back to my early childhood, and people were quite poor, and you were prepared to help each other. People did. Life was not easy years ago.
Now, I remember the first time I met you was at Moran Mothers Union. It's probably going back a year or two now.
Yes.
A lovely, lively group there in the Moran area. Mothers Union has been quite well supported, hasn't it, over the years?
Oh, yes. One great occasion, of course, was the big meeting we had over here in 2004, was it?
It was the first time I really discovered Mothers Union when we hosted this big, as you say, a big national gathering, and virtually everybody you met on the street was a Mothers Union member from somewhere, weren't they?
Yes, yeah. They were.
There was a great feeling of belonging to a big organisation in that, wasn't there?
Yes, there was. Yeah. I enjoyed our meetings, you know, when we were a goodly group, and, you know, we did so many things, and we had our Christmas parties and our outings sometimes in the summertime.
That's a very much a feature of it, a varied programme. It's not the same all the time. You do different things in the winter and, as you say, go out and about in the summer. And it's the friendships that are forged there, isn't it?
Yes.
They last beyond the meetings, don't they?
Yes. It was a wonderful time. I enjoyed our meetings. And, of course, we had some wonderful speakers.
And you held leadership in the branch, didn't you? You took the helm.
Well,
I think it's important to say that, May, because, you know, it's one thing to praise an organisation, but you actually did the hard work.
We all helped each other with whatever had to be done. But I don't profess to be a front row person at all, never have been.
Can you remember, how did you get involved in Mothers Union? Did somebody invite you along, or did you discover it?
But when we came over, we settled in Castletown. When husband retired, one of our daughters persuaded us to come out of Castletown. So when we came to Glenvine, I can't remember how, but I suddenly found myself a member of the Mothers Union. But, I mean, I was retiring age then, so I'm a youngest when it comes to years of being in Mothers Union, because that would be only sort of 20-odd years. But there were great days, really were.
I think we're all in agreement that the Mothers Union is an excellent organisation, but it needs to offer something to a new generation.
If people didn't pack quite so much into their lives, they might have time for the like of the Mothers Union. There's got to be change.
I find it inspiring that somebody who's been here for 100 years says we need to change. That's very positive.
Well, we'll have to see.
Indeed we will. Thank you very much indeed, May, and wish you a very, very happy birthday when it comes along.
Thank you so much.
Thank you to my special guests, new leader of the Mothers Union on the island, the Reverend Jeanette Hamer, who can be contacted at the vicarage in Kirkmichael, and the wonderful Mrs. May Corlett, approaching her 100th birthday in mid-May and still a passionate supporter of Mothers Union through their branch in Moraun. And now it's time to welcome back Ruth Rice, who's joining us each week during Lent with an invitation to spring clean our mental health. Following her own breakdown some years ago, Manx-born Ruth Rice founded Renew Wellbeing, a charity that runs simple cafe-style spaces where mental well-being is the top priority. And whilst everyone and anyone is welcome at Renew, without pressure or judgment, Ruth's own deep faith puts God at the centre of all she does. In her latest book, The A to Z of Wellbeing, Ruth uses every letter of the alphabet to help us find our own peace and wholeness. Today, the letter is I. I for interests.
Interests, hobbies, I think they're really important. Here's a little bit about why I think this is us connecting with God. What I fail to notice in my study of the Word of God is how very playful and creative he is. Reading again the Genesis account of creation, I meet a God who takes delight in creativity. Working my way through the Gospels, I meet with a Saviour who loved to take time over meals, who attended weddings, who spent years prior to public ministry carving wood, who hung out with fishermen and cooked up a great breakfast. Looking at one of my favourite verses in Ephesians, we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. I meet with a God who loved creating us, all different, all unique. He made us as we are on purpose. His creation shows great attention to detail, great love and care. I would even say it shows great enjoyment. But not only does it say here that he made us on purpose, it also says he made us for purpose. He made each of us with gifts and skills that he planned in advance for us to do. Good things. So to have something to do is vital for our well-being. I know not everyone can do paid work, but everyone has something unique and inherent of value that they bring to the world. Those unable to outwork that because of physical limitations bring joy and meaning in other ways. We are made in our Father's image, our Heavenly Father, creator of all things. To enjoy hobbies or an activity, to have interests, is to express something of the one we were made to represent. It's a spiritual activity to do something creative, to work, to engage in a hobby. The separation between sacred and secular, worldly and spiritual, exists only in our minds, not in God's plan. He made and is making us as a reflection of that deep truth. We find ourselves as creators and makers of things that he has given us to watch over and care for. For me, I like upcycling furniture, I like crochet, I like painting stones, I like walking by the beach. I don't like doing all those things at the same time. That would be madness. But here I ask, what hobbies or interests give you life? Why do you sometimes forget to prioritise doing these things? Which of these could you share with others in a shared space? And then if you can't think of any hobbies, what interests you? What might you like to learn? Because learning something new is good for our well-being. God of the detail, God of all things, creator, designer, from weevils to wings, remind me you made me on purpose as me, with gifts and with interests. Please help me just be myself, image bearer of the one who is here. I choose life in the small things. In my interests, you're near. I is for interests, and you'll find J is for joy, and you find joy in these interests. Bless you.
Thank you, Ruth Rice. And if you'd like to follow Ruth's daily short videos, you'll find them at ruthricebooks.online. And now let's end with our usual look at the notice board. The Mariners Choir will be in Port St Mary Methodist Church tonight for a service starting at 6:30, when the preacher will be Mrs Jean Guthrie and the soloist Karen Elliott. As usual, the service, which welcomes everyone, will be followed by supper and community hymn singing. Also this evening, in St George's in Upper Church Street here in Douglas, there'll be a special service of Evensong with the theme Lent to Passiontide. The service starts at 6:00 and will be led by Father Michael Bryden with guest choir Voces Insulae. Looking now to the rest of the week, and on Tuesday the 29th, the beautiful choir Manx Voices will be in concert in Castletown Methodist Church. The evening starts at 7:30, and with admission at just £3, including tea and biscuits, this has got to be the best value entertainment this week. On Wednesday this week, we welcome a new vicar to take charge of the 5 Anglican churches in the north of the island, stretching from the Doon and Mackled across North and South Ramsey and to Bride. Reverend Lynn Davidson will be licensed on Wednesday, March the 30th, at a service in St Paul's Church in Ramsey, with a reception afterwards in St Paul's Church Hall. Wednesday evening service starts at 7:00, and everyone is warmly invited to come and welcome Reverend Lynn and her husband Kenny back to the island and to her new ministry with us. On Friday the 1st of April, Port St Mary Methodist Church will be hosting another of their monthly Crafternoons in the church hall. Starting at 3:00, this is open to everyone to bring along your own craft project or come and get involved with one of those that'll be provided. Everyone is welcome. And there's lots happening next Saturday, April the 2nd. There's another of the very popular monthly craft markets at Glenmay Chapel and Community Centre on Saturday the 2nd. Call in for homemade produce and handicrafts and, of course, the famous bacon baps. Head for Glenmay on Saturday between 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. And if you're unsure where the chapel is, just look out for the bunting and the banners. Admission is free. Also on Saturday the 2nd, Pergolesi's lovely Stabat Mater is being performed at an evening concert at 7:30 in the Cathedral in Peel, featuring Juliet Tranter and Christian Littman, accompanied by organ and strings. Admission is free. Cafe Lingo, the free, fun and friendly way to learn English that's based in the Promenade Methodist Church here in Douglas, have just announced a refreshed new programme. On the first Saturday of every month, Cafe Lingo offers English lessons to anyone of any nationality, gender, age, faith or no faith. And then on the third Saturday of each month, you can come to Cafe Lingo to use all that you've learned in the meet and chat sessions of social conversation. Both sessions are from 10:15 to 11:45. Both are in the Prom Church here in Douglas, and both are free. If you'd like more details, contact Karen on 458 340 or take a look at their Facebook page. Go to facebook.com and search for Cafe Lingo Isle of Man. And that means there'll be Cafe Lingo English lessons this coming Saturday, the 2nd of April, at 10:15 in the Prom Church here in Douglas, with meet and chat for conversation on Saturday the 16th, with a warm welcome for all. And that's all that we have time for now. I'm currently isolating with COVID and made this programme from my studio at home, but Mike Reynolds will be live in the studio tonight from 9 to present Sundown. And my thanks to Mike for standing in at very short notice to do that for me. Do please email me if you've got items for the notice board or you'd like to request a favourite hymn to be included in a future programme. My address is judithleigh@manxradio.com. So, till we meet again, this is Judith saying thank you for listening, and I wish you and those you love a blessed and peaceful week and a very good morning. The Nation Station.